A Welsh Witch, Alan Rain. Their dear ones were deep underground, exposed to a fate too horrible to contemplate, and in tears and dread the women drew near the pit, where already preparations were made for help and rescue. It is in such times of tension that the true character of the collier shows itself. His bravery shines out resplendent, and his self-sacrifice kindles a glow of pride in every Welsh heart. Sitting under the shade of the thorn bush, Ushbel and her new friend waited patiently until, as the sun went down, the cage came up bearing its first load of the rescued. Then there were eager faces gathered round. Three men but little injured were enthusiastically seized upon by their friends and walked away quietly with them, astonishing Ushbel by their appearance of stolid calmness. It was all in their day's work. They had been saved and went to their homes prepared to take up their work again as soon as the pit should be pronounced safe. Three others seemed dazed and trembling and had to be supported to the shed that had been hastily prepared for them. All night they sat under the thorn bush, waiting, waiting, while the hours went by. At last, there was a longer interval than usual before the cage returned from its errand of mercy. There was a murmur at the edge of the pit. "What is it?" cried Ushbel and her companions, hastening forward. "That's all," said a man with haggard face and drawn voice. "The rest are buried under the falls or beyond them, and my boy is there."
Cumadi, Lewis Jones. "Who is this Home Secretary? This man who calls us hooligans and savages? Is he a working man? Have he ever worked down a pit? Have his mother been put in a county court because he have been too bad to work for a week or two? Not on your life. He don't belong to us. That's why he sends his soldiers here to drive us back to the pit. Ha! But he'll never beat our men that way. If we are to die, let it be fighting in the clean air that the pit has robbed us of for so long. Better to die like that than as Bill Bristol did, or die of starvation by an empty grate in the back kitchen. They claim they own the pits. All right. Let them come and work the coal themselves if they want it. Let them sweat and pant till their bodies twist in knots as ours have. Let them timber holes whose top they can't see and cut ribs in coal like solid steel. Oh, boys, we have no need to be downhearted. They will do none of these things. While it is true our bodies belong to the pit, so also it is true that this makes us masters of the pit. It can't live without us. When we are not there to feed it with our flesh, to work life into it with our sweat and blood, it lies quiet like a paralysed thing that can do nothing but mourn." Gwalia Deserta, Idris Davis. When Greed was born in Monmouthshire, the hills were torn for Mammon's fire. And wheels went round, and skulls were cracked, and limbs were ground, and nerves were racked. No time to dream, no time to stare, in that fell scheme to foul the air. To grab the coal and scorn the tree, and sell the soul to buy a spree. And breasts were bruised in dismal dens, and streets were used as breeding pens. And babes were born to feed the fire, when hills were torn in Monmouthshire. The Citadel, A.J. Cronin. Andrew reached forward. By the light of the under-manager's lamp thrust across his shoulder, he ran his hands over the injured man. The whole of Bevan's body was free except his left forearm, which lay beneath the fall. So pressed and mangled under the enormous weight of rock, it held him immovably a prisoner. Andrew saw instantly that the only way to free Bevan was to amputate the forearm, and Bevan, straining his pain-tormented eyes, read that decision the moment it was made. "Go on then, Doctor," he muttered. "Only get me out of here quick." "Don't worry, Sam," Andrew said. "I'm going to send you to sleep now. When you wake up, you'll be in bed." Stretched flat in a puddle of muck under the 2-foot roof, he slipped off his coat, folded it, and slipped it under Bevan's head. He rolled up his sleeves and asked for his bag. The under-manager handed forward the bag, and as he did so, he whispered in Andrew's ear, "For God's sake, hurry, Doctor. We'll have this roof down on us before we know where we are." Andrew opened the bag. Immediately he smelt the reek of chloroform. Almost before he thrust his hand into the dark interior and felt the jagged edge of broken glass, he knew what had occurred. Frank Davis, in his haste to reach the mine, had dropped the bag. The chloroform bottle was broken, its contents irretrievably spilled. A shiver passed over Andrew. He had no time to send up to the surface, and he had no anaesthetic. Unfinished Journey, Jack Jones. Pleurisy, the doctor told our mum when he came out into the middle of the living room after he had shut the door of the room where Dad was lying fast in bed. Told mum to poultice Dad and give her a note for medicine, which Billa fetched from the surgery the same night. In less than 2 weeks, Dad was out of his senses, and Mam had to watch him night and day. Me and Billa took charge of Dad's working place in the pit, which we worked as well as any 2 men. For weeks, our Mam didn't have a chance to take her clothes off. So one Saturday night, me and Billa made her go to sleep upstairs in our bed, leaving us to watch Dad and tend on him. She wouldn't at first, but we made her go, for we knew that if she didn't, we should have her bad in bed as well. And then it would be domino on all of us. So, after she told us what to do and what to give, she went upstairs for her first night's sleep for a month. Billa and me sat watching Dad and tending him through the night. We Live, Lewis Jones. What in bloody hell is the matter with me these days? My back and legs do feel like they are on fire, and I can't walk 2 cams without wanting a whiff. He checked himself with a groan, his face contorted with pain and disgust. Len always felt unhappy when he witnessed these periodic evidences of his father's decline, and he now paused sympathetically, hardly knowing what to say. "Why don't you go to the doctor, the same as Mam have asked you?" he demanded rather curtly. Jim looked at him a moment, as though he thought he had to deal with a man who had suddenly become deranged. Then he roared out loudly enough for everyone in the vicinity to hear, "Doctor to hell! What good can his powders and water do for a man like me, who have looked after hisself all his life, and can work better than any 2 men in the pit any day of the week? Doctor Manferny!" He spat contemptuously on the ground, rubbing it viciously with his foot before saying, "Come on! It's only a touch of the bile after those chips your mother made for dinner." He thought over this for a while as they continued their walk. The words had implanted a new reason in his mind for the pains he was enduring. He was immensely proud of his once magnificent body and always loath to admit that excessive work and age were now beginning to take toll of his strength. William Jones, T. Rowland Hughes. "Yes, boy. Coal dust on my chest. The thing they call silicosis. I was able to keep on working underground till the pit closed down, but just dragging myself to the colliery I was. Then I went to see Dr. Stewart here, and he said I couldn't work down below any more." "Are you getting compensation, Crad?" "I appealed for it. I went down to the specialist in Cardiff, and before the board after that. But there wasn't enough dust on my chest for me to get compo. Did you ever hear such nonsense in your life? If I had been able to go down below for a few more years to get a bit more dust inside me, I would get compensation. And a gravestone." William Jones, T. Rowland Hughes. "Oes, fachgen, llwch glo ar fy mresti. Y peth ma' nhw'n alw'n silicosis. Mi fedrys i ddal ati weithio dan ddaear nes i'r pwll gau, ond rhyw lusgo fy hun i'r gwaith yr oeddwn i. Wedyn mi es i at Dr. Stewart ma, ac mi ddedodd o na fedrwn i ddim gweithio dan ddaear eto." "Wyt ti'n cael compensation, Crad?" Mi apelies am un? Mi es i lawr at y specialist yng Nghaerdydd, ac wedyn o flaen y bod, ond oedd dim digon o lwch ar fy mresti i mi gael compo. Glywes di'r fath lol yn dy fywyd? Tas o'n i'n medru mynd dan ddeiar am ryw flwyddyn arall i gael tipyn chwaneg o lwch tu mewn i mi, mi gawn i'r compensation. A chareg fedd.
Y Meirwon, Gwenallt. Yr angau hwteraidd, yr angau llychlyd, myglyd meddw, yr angau a chanddo arswyd tynghedfen las. Troi tanchwa a llif pwll ni yn anwariaid dro, yn ymladd a phywerau catastrofig, cyntefig, cas. Gwragedd dewrfyd a llond dwrn o arian y gwaed, a bwcedaid o angau yn atgo tan ddiwedd oes, yn cario glo, torri coed tân a dodi'r ardd, ac yn darllen yn amlach hanes dioddefaint y groes. Gosodwn ddydd sil y blodau ar ei beddau, bwys o rysynau silicotig a lili mor welw ar nwy, a chasglu rhwng y cerrig anhymig a rhwng yr aneiddfed gwrb yr hen regfeidd a'r cableddau yn eu hangladdau hwy. Diflannodd yr utopia oddi ar gopa gellionen, y ddynoliaeth haniaethol, y byd diddosbarth a diffin, ac nid oes a eris heddiw ar weilod y cof, ond teulu a chymdogaeth, aberth a dioddefaint dyn. Awr Dywyll, John Jones. Yn nyfnder nos ar byd mewn tawel hun, gadawodd tyrfa ddi dynelau mwll, roedd chwys ar ail pob gŵr ag eithrio un, ac nid oedd rheg i'w chlywed gylch y pwll. Y ddoi bu'n dadlen ddiflin hawliau rhai sydd henon cludo'i gorff i'w gartre'n fyd gan gamu'n wylaidd, a phwy allsai lai na gweld rhegolau garw'r chwysu drud. Ca ddannod droion, oriau gweithio bach, a chyflog dda gan rai na wyddont fawr am ddim ond chwarae i fyw mewn awyr iach ac yntau'n torri ffordd mewn nos ddiwawr. Yn fyd buddfori'r gainc mewn bwthyn clud, a thradwy angladd wrth addoldi'r glyn. Na feier un, na wel o drian fyd drwy'r dyrfa ddi, y dorf mewn gynnau gwyn. Gorlannau y defaid, Gwyneth Fôn. Nid yw gweithio gannoedd o lathenni o dan y ddaear mewn tywyllwch didew yn tueddu i ddyrchafu dynion chwaith. Rhydd gwaith dyn ddylanwad ar ei gymeriad a'i gyreiddiadau heb yn wybod iddo. A gresyn fod yn angenrheidiol cadw miloedd o'n cydddynion mewn tywyllwch, bron ar hyd ei hoes, er codi'r glo o galon y ddaear. Yn danwydd o'r fath a hoffir orau, neu er cyfoethogi y gŵr bu ar cyfalaf. Pa un yw y rheswm cryfaf tybed? Un peth a wyddo moll, sef fod aml i lecyn fi yn brydferth fel paradwys yn myned yn ddi fel bro marwolaeth a distryw, a'i fwg yn dyrchafu yn ddi baid nes parddio gwybr a deiar ar ardaloedd megis heintleoedd lle y cyrcha pob aderyn aflan.